You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
We have another in-studio guest today, actually, for our series on He Restores My Soul. A book coming out from Emmanuel Press that is a fantastic book from Katie Schuurman and a slew of women authors talking about the crosses that we bear and how we can manage those crosses.
Two Cheryls for the price of one.
Right? I know.
Cheryl Swope was also an editor, right?
Yes, yeah. She's also an
editor. A writer and contributor to this
yeah.
book.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll have a bunch more of those interviews coming up in the coming days, weeks, and the book. You can pre-order the book right now from manualpress.us. In studio with us, talking about her chapter, Getting Past Your Past, on Psalm 23, verse 3, He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Cheryl Magnus, I almost got your title, Managing Editor for Reporter Online with LCMS Communications. Welcome, Cheryl.
Hi, thank you for having me. It's great to be here in the studio.
And I totally butchered English right now. So
that's right. We talk for a living.
Yeah, it's fine. Totally fine. Too much caffeine already.
It is the coffee hour.
It is the coffee hour. So you work in the building with us, which is awesome. So we get to see you all the time.
We do.
And so we'll get into your chapter in a second, which is a fascinating chapter, I thought. But tell us what you do here in the building for LCMS Communications.
Well, as you mentioned, I am managing editor for Reporter Online. It's the online version of The Reporter, which is the official newspaper of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. So we put out a monthly paper, but then we are always on almost a daily basis putting news online, and I manage that part of it.
Yeah, I get your emails every day. More reporter stuff.
More stories.
Yeah, well, and we get a lot of our content for the coffee mm-hmm. hour, because there's some really great stories.
Well, sure, telling the church's story.
Yeah.
It's one of the things we love to do.
And, absolutely.
And Cheryl does a great job of pulling those together.
Yeah, giving us our content.
With a lot of help, with a great team.
Yeah.
Yeah. LCMS comms.
Yeah, a lot of great people downstairs. So tell us about the topic of your chapter, which, just by the title, doesn't really give me much, but creating a...
Now she's critiquing your chapter.
Well, she didn't write the title, so it's fine. It's cool.
It's Katie's fault. It's
right?
All Katie's
we'll
fault.
Just blame Katie. It's fine. Creating a Christian home culture that's different from an upbringing that was unchristian. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about the topic and why that's personal for you.
Well, when you read the chapter title just a moment ago, Getting Past Your Past, it did occur to me that it's hard to know exactly what the chapter is just from the title. It could mean all kinds of interesting things. But it actually refers to trying to create a Christian family culture. Particularly, my chapter is about doing that with children when it's a departure from the way that you were raised. And both my husband and I come from homes in which we were not taken to church. We were not raised with any sort of intentional faith formation. So when we started having children, we kind of had to figure out how to do that.
And I can relate to that, too. I'm thankful for my parents, for my family. We didn't go to church regularly mm-hmm. until I was in probably middle school. I went with my grandparents, and then that's when my family started getting connected to church again as well. So I can relate mm-hmm. to that. We didn't have, you know, the family traditions of family devotions and things like that. So really relearning that, I can, even though, you know, this book is mostly women, I get to chime in more on this chapter than anything. So you had the opportunity to be a part of this book and to share your story. What was it like thinking through your own story and what you wanted to share with everyone else? What did you pull from your story that you wanted to share? How did you decide what you would share?
That was really, really difficult. It was difficult, number one, just deciding what to include. Mm-hmm. I mean, because as I started to write the chapter, I could have probably written a book. And so I had to really make decisions about what to keep in and what to leave out. And I remember writing to Katie actually during the process and just saying, I don't know if I can do this. And then I had a deadline and I wrote her an email and said, I'm not going to make the deadline. I need a little bit more time. And she was very supportive and loving and gracious throughout the entire thing. But yeah, it was, I wrote many, many drafts, put many things in, took many things out, and it was a process. It was very important to me as I wrote the chapter, even though I'm writing as somebody who was not raised in the faith, to write it in a way that was respectful and honoring of my parents, because, you know, they had many strikes against them. They did the best they could, and, you know, they gave me a lot. One of the most important things they gave me, even though we did not go to church regularly, was they did take me to baptism, to the waters of baptism. And so, you know, they gave me the one thing most needful.
Yeah. What does that mean to you that out of everything, out of all of the life experiences that you had growing up, that you are baptized and you know that? What does that mean to you?
That's everything, because since I did not have that childhood experience of being taken to church and having the family devotions and praying with my parents and all the things that we try to do with our own kids, you know, I as I was growing up, I wanted to go to church and I would read my Bible and I would pray and I write about this in the chapter. I had church services with my dolls and, you know, I desired all of these things. And the only place that could have come from is, I think, my baptism, because it certainly didn't come from me, and it wasn't something that my parents really instilled in me. And so I trace it all back to that. That's where it had to come from.
Yeah. So now with you and your husband and your kids, what kind of intentionality do you have for religious activities and for family traditions, and how did you even build those, not having those experiences?
Right. Well, I write about this also. One of the, I think, the greatest blessings of my and my husband's life was that he was called to full-time church work. And since he became a church worker, it sort of meant that we went to church all the time. And I would like to think that we would have done that anyway, you know, but I don't know, because that's the life that we've mostly had together as a church worker family. So since we were in church work, it meant that we were always in church. We were always taking the kids to church. And that's where we found models for how to raise children in the faith. Just being in church, pastors and, you know, people in the pews. We just had, you know, no end of great examples. And from them, we learned all the things that we started to do, you know, just praying before and after meals, regular family devotions, praying before bed with our kids, and just incorporating the confessions, the scriptures, and the small catechism, just incorporating that into our daily lives. So, you know, just the commandments and repentance and forgiveness and all of those things guided us in the way that we relate to one another and still do.
How did you navigate those as what mom does, what dad does as parents? Because those are some of the things that you know, we are still deciding or, you know, figuring out too. I wouldn't say deciding, but those things that we're figuring out, how did you navigate some of those? We sometimes do bedtime prayers, all of us together. Sometimes we have to do them separately because somebody's a little too squirmy. I won't say who.
Is it you?
So how did you navigate those, not having an example from your childhood?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. I think, you know, I don't know that we made any conscious decisions about those things. That they just sort of happened. It seems like I, over the years, became the bedtime prayer person, you know, so I was the one that would go and tuck kids in and pray with them before they went to sleep. And we are a homeschool family for most of our kids raising, although I have one that's about to go into ninth grade in high school this fall, so that's going to be a change. But so we, you know, family devotions during the homeschool day were a regular thing. And because of church work, dad was usually around for those, you know, because his days were normally more in the evenings and choir practices and stuff like that. So he was the devotion guy. And Yeah, it just sort of happened organically as we figured it out.
Yeah. Looking back on your childhood, but also looking forward to where your kids are now and in the future, what are you most thankful for? What are the things that you're most thankful for?
Well, I have to go back to that baptism thing.
Mm-hmm. it's kind of important.
Yeah, it's kind of important. All goes back to that. You know, as we say in the catechism, we cannot by our own reason or strength come to Christ or believe in him. You know, it's done for us, and it was definitely done for me in my baptism. So I'm thankful for that beginning that my parents did give me, even though they didn't know how to give me some of the other things. And then I'm just thankful that I was brought to a life in the church with so many people for many years now that have demonstrated to me how to live out the faith.
What do you hope people walk away from this chapter with, having read your chapter amidst all these other great topics as well in He Restores My Soul?
I think primarily I hope that there's some encouragement in the chapter. And I think the chapter is about raising kids in the faith, but I hope that it can be an encouragement to just about anybody, because the chapter talks a lot about how, you know, as much as we try to direct our kids, there's no magic formula. And I know parents that have done, you know, quotation marks, everything right, and the kids have walked away. And then, you know, parents that have done a lot wrong, and the kids have ended up staying in the church, you know, faithfully. And so I hope that the chapter encourages people in that God, you know, Will's faith when and where he wants to, and that, you know, even if you're feeling guilt about, if you're an older parent feeling guilt perhaps about not having done everything right, or if you're a younger parent maybe struggling in those difficult days, that there's encouragement there. And even if you don't have children and you're just worried about people in your own family or friends that you have that are not in the faith, that you know, Jesus works miracles each and every day, and he's not going to give up on them either.
Absolutely. Cheryl Magnus, Managing Editor for Reporter Online with LCMS Communications and author of Chapter 6 in He Restores My Soul, Getting Past Your Past, from Emmanuel Press. Thanks so much for joining us in studio, Cheryl.
You are welcome. Thank you for having me.
You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.